And the point being, even through that, of those 12 teams, what would we say, three?
Yeah. At most.
Three. So, like, I understand the premise, once again, of tanking gives you the best chance of a superstar. But there are a bunch of different ways, draft, trade, whatever. And I would say, to be honest with you, after we did this exercise, there are more ways outside of just being a top five team that you can find a way to be a contender this league.
This is a couple of times, too. I say Carpenter's just the latest to put it. This is Sacramento. Comparing them with 90% of other markets isn't realistic as far as attaining talent. It's like OKC, Indiana, Cleveland, they're not. Indiana, yeah, those aren't Milwaukee. Big markets.
What are you talking about? There's literally two big-time markets in the West that are up there. That's Houston. Well, there's LA's in there twice. But Houston, LA, and the Clippers. And in the East, New York and Boston.
Let me ask you something.
Boston got their picks, too, for some aging vets and bad GMing from Brooklyn.
Yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you something, everybody. Did San Antonio tank landed the number one pick?
No, they just weren't good. That's the dirty little secret of the Spurs that
they were 12 games better the year prior.
I get the respect that people show for them, but San Antonio ain't been good since Tim left.
Yeah, it's been a handful of years.
LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan when they were there. I think they made the playoffs with those teams.
I think I'm back to, where am I at now? Okay, 2018-19. They finished 48-34.
I think that was DeRozan and, no. Yeah, DeRozan and was Aldridge still there?
I don't think Aldridge was.
So it was just DeRozan.
We're doing free agent presentations for LaMarcus Aldridge at one point.
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot better than the one the Lakers gave.
Lakers didn't even get a chance to get there.
They did. Lakers was the first one in history where the tweet went out, yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge and the Lakers met, and it went bad. Like, real bad. Never seen it in the history of tweeting and free agency or nothing. One of one. LaMarcus Aldridge met with the Lakers, and it was effing awful. But yeah, that was it. They hadn't been good, but the drop off the year that Vic was available was 12 games. It's a 22-60 record they finished with. And 22-60 wasn't the worst in the league because Detroit was 17-65. Houston was also 22-60. And San Antonio, also 22-60.
Our guy, Patrick in the chat, I'll shout out to him. This isn't like, and no diss or nothing like that. Just he's responding. We respond back. He says to not be good, you can't be making moves to be mid. He meant can't. The Kings roster indicates a team trying to be mid. Do you think the Pacers tanked at any point in time? They didn't making moves to get Tyrese Halliburton. They were making moves to get Pascal Siakam, and it worked out. Cleveland, I don't think Cleveland was making moves to be mid when they were getting Caris LeVert and getting guys like that. Like, they were trying to be a successful team, and it worked out. Mm-hmm. They ended up getting in a position where, to your point, they had asset management with some of the picks that they had and some of the players they had on there, and took a team that was average or something like that and was able to appeal to get a guy like Donovan Mitchell and catapult themselves as a team.
Well, going back to last year, the final month less than that of the season, whenever AD came back, it's like, what are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. Dallas was in a prime position to just fade off into, what did Mike Tyson say?
Bolivian.
Just fade off into Bolivian. And they're like, nah, we're just going to keep playing. We're just going to keep making a run for this playing, beat the Sacramento Kings ass at home. And then lost. What happened after that? A 39-win basketball team. Yeah. They landed the prize of the draft.
Yep. Do we think the Jazz have tried to tank recently?
Yes.
What pick did they have this year?
like what is 18th?
The 6th.
They were or terrible.
Or
the 5th.
One of those. Same with the Wizards. Like, the two worst teams in the league this year, the 5th and 6th pick. Like,
but tanking. How much of that is tanking? And this is where you talk about Utah and Washington. That's a great segue, Jesse. Bring up Utah and Washington. You. Because when you talk about San Antonio and some of these other teams, which one is Sacramento closest to? It isn't San Antonio, no matter how bad they've been over the last 5 years. It's Washington. Utah sucks. That's why they're in the position they're in. Danny Ainge is trying to hold on to some past glory of being the Boston Celtics general manager.
Shout out.
And trying to do the same thing that he did in Utah, and it's failing.
Yeah.
The undercover thing that people don't know about Danny Ainge, that dude has no people skills. He doesn't know how to talk to people. And now the league is just like, bitch, you're in Utah. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I had to talk to you when you were in Boston.
Yeah.
I don't have to talk to you anymore.
I don't need Colin Sexton, Danny Ainge, okay?
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. I agree with everything that you said. And I think the premise of what we try to get across and the moral of the story is nothing is an absolute. Like you can be successful, you can be terrible a couple of different ways. And the thing that I don't agree with is when people talk about tanking as that's the way, that's the solution. No, that's one of the solutions that may or may not work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around the room real quick. Which GM, because Scott Parrish got here, which GM from the past would you have trusted to lead a tank?
None of those
Jesus
guys.
Christ.
None of those guys. To be perfectly honest with you, if Scott Perry wanted to do that, I'd be like, all right, I trust you. These other guys? No.
My thing is, too, like, the Sacramento Kings are not in this position because they haven't tanked over the last 17, 18, whatever you want to call it, years. They're here because they just never picked the right person. It's just get good basketball people to make the right decisions. That's all it takes.
I think part of the reason they're here because they're constantly trying and failing. Trying isn't the problem. It's failing when you try. That's the problem. That's where you fall short. You talk about, I don't trust Vlade Divac to do this. No, I don't trust Pete D'Alessandro to do anything. Oh, I wouldn't trust Pete D'Alessandro to go get my green juice out of the refrigerator.
Come back with a Coke can. Shout out.
And then Monty and Wes, are you kidding me?
That was, man.
Hey, guys, we got the number one pick. The lottery hasn't even happened yet.
Those guys.
Wes Wilcox telling everybody we're getting Cooper Flagg.
Those guys, the more that we like kind of talked about it a little bit more, they sat on their hands the entire time, except for like 1 year. Because remember we were talking about Bogey and you're like, I agree with him not to make that decision. I was like, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you plan to do something, they didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
They just let Bogey go. Maintain flexibility.
Yeah.
They didn't do nothing the entire time.
Flexibility.
They did nothing. They sat on their hands. I wish
I could throw something at Monty McNair for that.
No wonder. Look, I'm not trying to completely stall him out. But no wonder Vivek said, I don't care what you think anymore. Get this player and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I didn't do nothing for 5 years. I've been listening to you for 5 years, and you've done nothing.
Let's see what TC talking about. 916-909-1320, Oak Grove Kia Talk Line. TC, what's up, man?
Man, what's up with my two brothers?
Oh, good, TC, man. You hear it?
I didn't even hold it. I don't know what he's gonna say.
You hear that volume in TC's voice? Go ahead.
Nah, because I gotta piggyback, bro. They didn't do nothing. Monty McNair talking about maintain flexibility. This ain't the right move, bro. You did that your whole tenure, right? Then I tried to back you up at the end of it, thinking that you was doing something, bro. You wasn't doing nothing, Monty, bro. Made TC look bad, man. Money.
Hey, what are we doing, TC?
Herschel Walker. Over there.
What's going on?
Hey, no, but listen, though. Kenny, I gotta ask a real question. D-Lo, this is for Kenny, though. Oh. Kenny, answer me truthfully, bro.
Yeah.
Why do you get why you get so bent out of shape when somebody brings something up like matter of factly, right? And they talk about it. You get upset about that, like, well, why are you talking so matter of fact? That ain't even. It's either gotta be even to you, bro, or can't nobody talk like matter of fact. Nothing against it. I just want to ask that true question, bro. That's all.
No, because you say something, not you specifically, appreciate you, TC. When people say something that is not matter of fact in a matter of fact way, like if somebody said, the only way you're going to get good is by tanking. That, how do you know that? That's not even proven to be true. So that's what it is. It's not that you can't have your opinion or whatever. I just think that is ridiculous when you speak about something in certain terms that has been proven, like it's not certain, and there's other ways to go about what you're trying to get to. That's all.
I don't know if this will translate. Drew Down sent me this. It's pretty wild if y'all can hear it. Hang on.
Oh,
did y'all catch that?
Run that back one more time.
No, go ahead.
Hold on.
Let me go.
Hey, Joe Chasky, y'all know where I'm coming at, bro. Hey, y'all know where I come at every time, big dog.
Man. I don't even know how old that. Obviously, it's an old clip. It's Joe and Bonte. TC, that was tough. That got sent to me today, TC. I had to play that, TC. Sorry about that, man.
Shout out to TC, but settle down.
That's tough. That's tough. It's tough when you get flagged for stuff you say on other radio stations.
It's like, I'm not even in your league.
Man, we'll come back. I still haven't asked my question about Doug Christie. I'm going to get to it. We've got questions. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to solve the Kings' problems today.
Yes.
James Hamm said to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. D'Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Sports Talk on ESPN 1320 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Talking about the Sacramento Kings here. Why? Well, because that's what we do. We talk about the Sacramento Kings. Sure, football's 8 days away, man, but why not? And this is, I just blame the insiders because that really kind of got our, it just is a natural conversation about this basketball team and how to build a contender, how to win, how to see the term that Scott Perry's been using. Long-term success. Sustainable success, I believe, is the term that he used. Doug Christie used a similar term. He actually used it on a couple of occasions. Talked about it last year as well. And Jesse asked the question this morning, which I thought was a good one, because I hadn't really thought about it like this. This season, given the split camps on how this all should have been approached, given the frustration with the contracts, the makeup of the roster, all these different things. Can Doug Christie fail this year? Is there a scenario where we can step into this room and go, man, Doug failed this team?
I think it depends on your expectations or what you think of this team. And even then, because of the scenario the Kings are in, he may have a free year. If you are looking at it like I'm looking at it, I think how you're looking at it, a couple other people, that not his team isn't going to be terrible. Like, this team is a team that's around 500, maybe a game or two above or below. And they come out and they win 31 games. To us, that looks like a failure. Like, there's more talent on this team, assuming everybody stayed, nobody got traded off or anything. There's more talent on this team than to win 31 games. That's unacceptable. That's how you would look at it if you think they're going to be a good team. But while saying that, there are people who don't think they're going to be a good team, who want them to be a bad team, who would not look at Doug Christie as failing if that's the case. They will look at the organization, the front office, it's their fault. They set him up for failure. He didn't fail. And that's not just because they love Doug Christie. It's because they don't look at this team as being good enough to compete. We do.
Mm-hmm.
So, or when I say compete, I mean play in, play, like something like that. Yeah. We do. So if you are the on the under of what Vegas has for him at 35.5, yeah, Doug, I would say Doug didn't do a good job if that happened. That'd be part of the reason. It doesn't, doesn't mean it's everything, but that'd be part of the reason. Doug didn't do a good job if they're in the low 30s for wins this year.
I think the only way, like, I think for me, you can say he truly failed at the end of the season is if we go through another year and it's like, yeah, team wasn't necessarily connected and there was no real identity established this season. Like, if we're dealing with just guys but, aren't together again or anything like that, like, I figure, like, he's got to.
But
that's his job this year, is to start building the culture. Like, I'm not going to blame Doug if this team doesn't make playoffs, because right now I got them at about 41-41 type of team. So if they're less, it's like that's the few games or whatever. And if it's more than perfect, he did his job. But I think you probably point to roster construction, the front office, and just things being kind of tough this offseason before you look at Doug and place the blame on him. So I think if it's culturally and there's issues there, and it's just, like I said, it's another year where guys aren't on the same page, and I think that's where it's like, maybe he failed.
I feel like that's one of the most difficult roads that Doug has to navigate, though, is the one that Jesse just laid out. The establishing culture part, like, part of it is, like, DeMar is a 16, 17-year vet. Like, I'd expect him to be a part of that, too. And if there was a... If you said a single player derailed the possibility of establishing culture on the Sacramento Kings, the only one who I think is strong enough to do it is DeMar. Because DeMar is universally, I think DeMar is universally respected. Now, to be clear, I don't think that's a scenario that could possibly happen. I don't think that's the type of player DeMar. It's part of the reason DeMar DeRozan is universally respected. It's part of the reason that coaches, front offices, franchises talk about DeMar DeRozan the way that they do. But that culture aspect, like, I don't think, while in this fictitious scenario, DeMar might be able to destroy it by himself, I don't think he can build it by himself. And it's going to be up to him and Doug, and truthfully, Domantas Sabonis too, to kind of, you know, pave those yellow brick roads for these guys. And I don't know. I don't think I would put that on Doug if it went sour.
There was something I saw, and I'm finding right now. I'm gonna try and send it to you guys so you can actually see it. It doesn't necessarily have to go up on the stream, but I saw it yesterday, and I said, why can't this type of feeling happen again? Like, what would be keeping this from happening again? And what it was the Miami game at home where they came back to win. They were down 20 or something like that. Came back to win in overtime. And it's like a Kings production footage of DeMar hitting that shot to kind of ice the game. And then everybody's going ecstatic. And then when the final buzzer sounds, Doug Christie meets Sabonis and Keon Ellis at half court. And remember, they have this big old embrace. They're hugging. And it was one of those things where it's like, yo, these guys are locked in. They love and respect Doug Christie. And they're playing for this guy. And I looked at that moment and I wondered, why wouldn't that happen this year?
I'm not sure it wouldn't.
That's the thing, because we talk about just now, like, Doug not being able to galvanize these guys, not being able to get them on the same page, splintering off and all this other stuff. That's his strong suit. That's something that he was able to do the second he came in as head coach. And you got guys like Domantas Sabonis, who has a great relationship with him, you know, with the workouts, and they've been working out together for the last 3 years or something like that. I think Keon looks at him and respects him. I think DeMar looks at him. Like, all these guys look at Doug and they respect him. Why wouldn't they be able to recreate that type of feeling again? Things really went bad last year after the Fox trade. And then you can point to that being, you know, dysfunction with the coaching staff, dysfunction in the front office, not having a point guard. Like, I think Sabonis was hurt for, you know, a week or two. Monk went down. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, you can start pointing to the downfall of that team last year to very specific things. It wasn't Doug Christie's inability to get some of these guys to play together. They even had some good wins later in the season, beating Detroit on the road, beating Cleveland on the road. There were some fundamental things, not having a point guard, not having a full coaching staff, injuries that led to them not being able to overcome those things and continue to be a winning basketball club. You start the slate clean, you start the season clean, mm-hmm. with guys that are playing with a coach that they look at and they respect, why wouldn't they be able to do those things again that they had for that 15-game stretch?
I can't offer a reason as to why they couldn't. I think, and we've talked about this before, whether you like this or not or agree with this or not, and you're welcome to disagree with it, they got a lot of built-in excuses for what happened last year. It's part of the reason that I think they'll be more successful than some people believe is those built-in excuses. They're all gone. Mm-hmm. Mike, getting comfortable with DeMar and trading De'Aaron, getting LaVine going, you know, injuries, although the LaVine having his own issues that he has to deal with, his personal issues regarding the trade, or, you know, when the trade happened. And Doug getting acclimated as a head coach while his staff is just like, whatever. Then guys are leaving. All of that's gone. All of it is gone. So those built-in excuses, the things that probably took those happy, healthy vibes that you were just talking about a second ago and turned them into what ultimately became the end of the season, those you don't get those excuses anymore. If that winds up happening again, there is a far bigger issue.
Right.
And it's just hard for me to believe with this group of guys that that's there. I know where I will look first, but I just don't think that it's there.
Chris in the chatty house says, I think the worry is all the guys who have been mentioned as trade pieces or not the future all. Or not the future all off season. We're talking about one guy. When you talk about guys who have been mentioned in trades, that I always say this, no disrespect, that matter to the equation, we're talking about one guy. We're talking about Malik Monk. Devin Carter may not even be in the rotation. Your season doesn't hinge on Devin Carter, or it shouldn't hinge on Devin Carter being bought in or not. That's what you went out and got Schroeder for. That's what you have Keon Ellis for. Keon Ellis may be another guy that you're talking about now that I mentioned him because of his contract situation, not because mm-hmm. he was looked to be traded. But I don't think Keon is that type of individual. I don't think he's that type of person. That's not how he approaches the game. That's not how he approaches being in the NBA. I don't believe that. But DeMar DeRozan, they got on the same page already to bring DeMar DeRozan back in the fold. They didn't mention trading LaVine. They didn't mention trading Sabonis. They didn't mention getting rid of Keegan. Schroeder, they signed him. He voluntarily came here to sign. You've got guys that seem to be in a line with the task at hand to come in here and try to win games. And you got one guy, Malik Monk, that's a little bit of a wild card because you don't know how he may react to the perceived thought that he was being shopped around the league. I don't think it's a bunch of guys the way we kind of think of it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think that's the case either. But they are going to have to do something that they didn't do last year. And it's, you're going to have to mesh together now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you've got Dennis Schroeder in here, but Dennis, I feel like, is an easy guy to kind of blend with. He's been on a lot of different basketball teams. He's worked with a lot of different personalities. And I'd argue there's a lot of different players. I'd argue there's only one of all of his stops. Now, measure winning and all of that stuff. But in terms of just the way he fits on a basketball team, there's only one that didn't work. And that's Golden State. And that, by all outward appearances, appears to be the most difficult team on planet Earth to fit in on.
Right.
Which is why I think the Jimmy Butler thing is so fascinating this year. Like, when you talk about questions, you know, over the course of the next 8 days or so, we'll ask questions like, what are the big questions headed into Thursday night Eagles-Cowboys? Not Eagles-Cowboys questions, but NFL questions. Mm-hmm. When we get, you know, when we start approaching training camp and start, you know, getting closer to opening day, we'll have, what are the biggest questions entering this NBA season? And just as it was 2 months ago, in a month or a week or whenever we decide to do this, I want to see what Jimmy Butler in Golden State looks like. Post-trade euphoria, or was this a real fit? Mm-hmm. And what happens when Jimmy gets sick of you-know-who? Now, maybe those two are ultra-aligned, and that's not going to be a thing. Jimmy Butler might literally only be the second person that that's ever happened to. Mm-hmm. With Steph being the first, and I'm not even sure that Steph is in this category. So at some point, it feels like those two are going to clash. But is this a real fit? Like, this is a basketball team to watch out for? Or was everything we saw last year, that post-trade euphoria, get that big run, see what happens? We've seen it from Jimmy before. And now they're going to build on that. With the Kings, it's more of, okay, we got through all of the awkwardness. Now we got to build.
Right.
Now we got to build. And Doug, you know, Jesse, was like, Doug does have to be at kind of the helm of that.
Mm-hmm.
But so does DeMar. So does Domas. And truthfully, so does Zach LaVine.
Yes. Yes.
Hell, Dennis should too. Dennis is a vet.
I've said it a number of different times since he took over as head coach. But if you're not following what Doug Christie has to say, if you're not approaching the game the way he's trying to teach it, that says something about you, not Doug Christie, in my opinion. Because Doug Christie is as solid as they come when it comes to his approach to the game, dealing with men like men, treating them like men, and being a straight shooter with them. And if you're any of those guys and you're moping around and you're pouting and all this other stuff, to me, that says more about you than Doug Christie. This is his strong suit. This is, I'm not trying to take away from his X's and O's or nothing like that, but galvanizing, getting people to believe, getting people to come together, that's his strength. Mm-hmm. And if you're not tapped in or locked in to what the team is trying to do and you've got your own agendas, once again, that's telling me that you're probably a guy that doesn't need to be here. Probably telling Scott Perry, you're not a guy that needs to be here.
Mm. I was going to say
something. Scott Perry, speaking of Scott Perry,
yeah,
he does his Monday motivation thing. Did you see the one the other day?
I don't think I knew Scott did this.
Yeah, every Monday. Because okay. I saw him tweeting like a few Mondays ago. It had nothing to do about the Kings. And then I saw it the next week. I was like, oh, he just does this every Monday. And you talk about putting a damn contract in the practice facility. They need to plaster this.
Is this to blame others?
Yes.
Okay, you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead. They need to put this in a damn practice facility. Sign this tweet. Do that.
Monday motivations from Scott Perry. When you blame others, you are affirming that you have no power and your existence is only a reaction to the power of others. When you stop blaming and become positively self-examining, you will begin to move forward. Blame keeps us stuck in the past.
Yeah, Monty.
Read
it, dude.
We cannot change the past. We can only learn from it. Empowerment is never about blame. It is about taking personal responsibility.
Mm.
Hashtag Monday motivation.
Mm.
Man.
Put that in City Hall.
Man.
Put that everywhere in the Golden 1 Center. So everybody can read it. That's all that goes on around here a lot of times is blame, 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 blame. And there's a reason why. What if we said it for the last couple of years on this show? It's always somebody else's fault why something couldn't get done.
Every time, 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, I made my little joke, but I mean, Scott just saying on his Monday Motivations, you can connect that to the past Kings regime if you want, like pretty clearly. Not saying that Scott's saying that, but that was their issue.
You could do it with players here in Sacramento that are here that aren't here no more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All they did was blame everybody else for their shortcomings.
Yep. Absolutely.
Which is why I kind of...
I'm going to retweet that.
I don't love the whole keep the vets around this year and the Russell Westbrook thing, but it's also why I kind of... I'm not against it just because maybe you do need that right now where you got some guys who... Like, your actual ball players just know how to do it the right way, and you can kind of set a culture going forward, finally. Which is not guys playing well for themselves.
You know what kills me so much about the culture thing that you're talking about? Didn't we think we had it?
Oh, yeah, that was... They fooled us, buddy.
That was... We thought that. That was not real. They did not have culture here. We on the outside... It's like looking at a celebrity's life. On the outside, the Kings looked great. Everything was going on. Meanwhile, fairly early, it seemed like they were sick of each other.
They're an alcoholic and taking pills and it's like a bad parent. And
when you're trying to clean up your room or whatever when you're as a kid, it's like, let me just move this over to the side real quick. This little area looks clean.
Let me just put everything under the bed.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And then you look under the bed. No, this is disgusting, pal.
Like, and that's the thing that kills me about all this. Like, when people talk about, they had it right, and they messed it up. I don't think they had it as right as people, as we thought they did. Like, if for things to go as south as it went with some of the players and Mike Brown, I'm not saying one is right or the other. Like, I'm not saying who's right. But they weren't feeling each other relatively quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't have they didn't have things turned around. No. And then you worry about Mike Brown worrying about this guy and this guy working behind the scenes to do this and that. And this Monty McNair working against Mike Brown or against Vivek or Wes Wilcox. It wasn't figured out at all. They just won some games. So everybody's like, oh, they got it all figured out.
They made the playoff. Everything was great. And then we come into the training camp the next year. So what's the deal with this Chris Duarte starting thing?
Yeah. Oh, Kevin knew he was going to come back into the starting lineup. Sorry. Kevin knew he was going to come back into the starting lineup.
D'Lo Brown.
Just a minute.
D'Lo Brown. That's very good. That's who I was named after. Yeah. You're right. Casey's right. It went south so fast. So fast that it was never real.
Barely made it north.
So fast.
So I hope that this is a true change in culture and change in identity. And I think eventually it has to go down to the players. They've got to be the one to spearhead it. But in the meantime, I think it's led by guys like Scott Perry and Doug Christie. Those are the leaders right now.
Those are the guys who are expecting to be here beyond 2 years, so that's how I see it, too.
Those are the guys that will spearhead this change, and they'll hand it off to somebody, a player or a couple players, whether they're here right now or not. But at some point, there will be players that will kind of do what they already established and bring that to the locker room, bring that to the court. And I don't know if those guys are here yet or not.
They don't need to be like these teams, but like the Celtics, the Spurs, damn, the Lakers, I guess. Like, there's just teams with just, no matter the players that come in, there's always just like a set way, the culture of how you do things, and the Kings just need that, finally.
So Doug has to establish that thing.
Yeah, it's Doug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Doug. Doug and Scott Perry, but for me, I look at Doug, because it seems like that's like his thing.
Yeah. I hope when the cameras aren't on, Scott gets like aggressive. Scott's so like chill and just like the way he communicates is seems to just be easy breezy.
I think
I want to know that when someone pops off, Scott Perry settles that down immediately.
Sure. Ooh, I think Scott does, but in the calm way where it's like, hey, you did this, but don't forget, I will fire you if I need to. Like, he's not going to yell at you, but just, hey, like, I hold the cards here.
You know who Scott Perry reminds me? Well, like, I don't know this about myself, but people would say this. It's probably how people look at me. They think I'm like, ah, oh, he's just cool. He's whatever. He's just nothing really. He's never really urgent about it. He's really soft-spoken. I'm not always that. I'm just not always that. Like, there's times when you're getting, especially when you get in a competitive situation. Competitive. Like, we're trying to win or lose something. Like, it's time to turn up. And if you ain't ready to turn up with me, get the hell out the way. Move out the way. I'm trying to win here. And Scott looking at some of these guys worried about all this other stuff. Yeah, I'm Scott Perry. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. You know, I'm a pretty smooth guy. But you don't want to get out of here. Leave.
Can we call Scott Perry Detroit Red?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't see why not. Like, it fits. I know that name belonged to somebody else, but can we call Scott Perry? It's really annoying when you search Scott Perry that other person comes up.
We got to fix that. I don't know how we do it. Scott, what's his middle name? Maybe we start calling him Scott.
Well, it's not listed. Oh, we can absolutely call him Detroit Red. Come on, man. For those that don't know, Detroit Red was Malcolm X.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good. It works.
It absolutely works.
It works.
We will come back. James Hamm's going to join it. Boy, there is a lot to... I did not expect this to be a King-centric show today, but yet here we are. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. We mentioned the insiders, the ESPN, not the ESPN 1320 insiders, but the NBA insiders who work for ESPN. They predicted a couple of things on the upcoming NBA season. There were some things yesterday that we didn't touch on. One of them I thought was really, really interesting, and I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on. Again, that ahead, plus James Hamm, dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Yeah, Bryce out here wilding out a little bit. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
Big corned beef hash guy, he says.
Bryce is funny.
Bryce is OG, Bryce is too. Funny.
What is big corned beef hash?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Corned beef, is that the stuff that you serve on...
Bryce, answer that in the chat.
St. Patrick's Day?
Once again, as Mike Tyson once said, I'm from a different culture.
Well, there's two of them. Will in the chat says biscuits and gravy are greater than pancakes. Another horrible take. All right,
come on. Man, stop. Stop, bro. Stop. What are these guys doing? Come on, we got to be better. And don't disrespect pancakes like that.
I'll take jelly with my biscuits. Well, maybe,
it's just not necessarily disrespecting pancakes as much as it's saying he has a preference.
You don't have to include pancakes in your
preference. Yeah, they're not even on the same tier, though.
Pancakes is, would you say that's a breakfast entree? Biscuits are a side.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Are you biscuits and gravy guy over there or something? You're not.
No.
Where
no,
you
no,
at?
No,
like,
no. First of all, settle down.
Well, no, you're not showing the energy we need here.
No. Well, I'm not going to fight for. I'm not going to fight.
Bryce and Will over here. No. Disrespecting us. No, and you're going, you should turn the other way.
No, my grandpa loved biscuits and gravy. I thought they were. I'm not a biscuits and gravy guy. It's not me.
I'm not either. When if I have biscuits, give me some strawberry jelly in there.
Yeah, facts. That's about it. Are you a jelly and butter guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
It's the way we're going to do it.
Oh, in any event. And don't mind me just looking at the 50 emails that account executives send us. Like, no, you're not doing anything right now, right, guys? Hey, guys, can you confirm that? Pretty urgent. Can you guys get a confirmation for like right now? No, it's fine, guys. It's
you were about to ask a question, though, before.
Well, I was going to tell everybody to tune in to Flashback Friday on Friday because that show is going to be a collector's edition.
Tap in.
We're always pretty honest with everybody, and I'm going to be painfully honest with y'all right now. D'Lo and Casey are tired. So we're making some adjustments to our KSFM schedule. We're both going to be on KSFM moving forward. We're going to be doing a ton with KSFM moving forward. We're going to be on stage with Ty Dolla $ign and Wale and Jacquees and all of that. But, you know, not to kill the magic of radio, our hours are going to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you can still find us, some of you. I don't even know how to, like,
wait,
I'll be on.
Why is he here and there?
Be ravishing,
this is
Rick.
Amazing.
Be ravishing Rick Rude in the Attitude Era for every day. and Kenny's got
somehow
some
tuned
off
into both.
Did some well
tuned into both.
Please, I guess, get the Odyssey app going or the iHeart or just whatever. But we did the afternoon drive thing for 2 years and it didn't really work out the way we had hoped. So we're trying to figure out ways to make KSFM a little bit stronger. So Friday's going to be our last afternoon show there. Again, we are not done with KSFM by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, Kenny will be on Saturday and Sunday. I'll be on Tuesday. Like it's just the hours are changing.
It's like when they broke up the Dudleys.
Did they break up the Dudleys? Where was that?
They sent Bubba to SmackDown, I think.
Yeah, that's where Deacon. What it was.
Yeah, Reverend Devon or something
like that. Yeah, and you know who the Deacon was? Batista.
Batista, yeah.
That's what? How they brought Batista out.
No, yeah, you were gone.
Trust me,
trust
me, you were in a good place. You weren't watching Reverend Devon. You were in a good place.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll be there. Like I said,
let's break up D'Lo and KC before they kill each other.
Weekends with KC, man. We're gonna get this thing popping, especially on your Saturdays, man. We're gonna line it up for your Saturday afternoons, and on Sundays, we're gonna get that popping. Side note,
yeah.
I just came across this. You know how big of a game Texas Ohio State is on Saturday. How big of a game Arch Manning starting the season with number one Texas in Ohio State is? Apparently the FCC has stepped in with this Fox YouTube.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
I never thought
I'd rep for the FCC, but what the hell is going on here?
FCC Chairman Brendan Carr has publicly addressed the ongoing Fox YouTube TV carriage dispute, calling on YouTube TV parent Google to resolve the matter.
Yeah, yeah. Resolve the matter, you little bitch, and that's your ass.
Yeah, Fox and YouTube TV have a temporary agreement right now.
Oh, I love it.
Until they work the real one.
See, temporary
extension right now.
The FCC said the hell you are going to have a dispute this Saturday.
You know what? These two jackasses thought they were cooking. They were like, we're going to get what we want because there's no way they'll shut their customers out of this Fox, Texas Ohio State game. Oh, that's amazing.
That's not
even settled. They just said,
they said, you figure this out now, and then you can figure it out on the back end how you want to. But this game's being shown on YouTube TV.
Unbelievable. I mean, at some point, like, that has to be, I don't know.
They said, wait, what? I think the chairman probably had YouTube TV. Wait, what? I might miss this game. Oh, no.
Oh, bless.
This is the first time we've ever been, like, appreciative of the FCC.
Bless your little heart. The Tennessean, because I searched, I Googled YouTube Fox, yeah. YouTube TV Fox. The Tennessean, this is so sweet. Did YouTube TV come to an agreement with Fox? Dispute could affect Tennessee Titans fans.
Oh, my God.
That is the funniest headline I've ever seen. Oh, that is so sweet.
Oh, man. Oh,
hang in there, Tennessee Titans fans. You'll get through it. Oh, man.
Real quick, I want to get back to the Kings for sure, but in a story that I really wish was true, but it sounded like it wasn't, not even a Chatty House situation, just...
Oh, you've already... It's good.
So yesterday there was a report that Ohio State was banning Dave Portnoy from being able to enter the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's part of Big Noon, and he's a Michigan fan.
Mm-hmm.
And the report was, no, he's not allowed to, to come into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish that was true.
Yeah.
But Ohio State came out and said they're denying banning Dave Portnoy.
Yeah,
okay, Ohio Stadium.
Go ahead, Dan.
One, he should be banned from everywhere. But two, that never made sense.
No.
Like, Ohio State's not going to ban a
media guy.
Yeah.
Was the story like, after that, that Fox is keeping him off?
No, the story, at least the one that Awful Announcing had up was that Ohio State was banning him.
No, I mean, after that, it was like, oh, yeah, it wasn't Ohio State. It's actually Fox who said, yeah, we won't bring him on this week or something like that.
Oh, I didn't see that. Fox is insane for that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go look for that, but I'm pretty sure I saw that after, and I was confused. Like, why would Fox do that then?
Right. You know it's Go Blue, but I really wish they would have banned him. That would have been a much better story. I don't know why they're putting him on Big Noon Kickoff. That's
their Pat McAfee.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I don't.
That's how it gets talked about.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
Pat McAfee's not a jackass, though.
Pat McAfee is also a Pro Bowl kicker.
Yeah.
Like what? Like what? Like who's he?
Okay, real quick. Yeah, Fox decided Portnoy would not be on the main desk for Big Noon Kickoff, and those not on the desk do not normally appear on the field. These are Fox's decisions.
So he won't be in the stadium, or he won't be on the show?
He's not going to be in the stadium because he's not going to be on the show, I guess, is how that tweet reads to me.
And he does, so I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
those who aren't on the desk or whatever of the show normally don't appear on the field is what this says.
So he was never going to be with Charles Woodson and those guys. Like, that's not where he was going to be. He was just going to be a part of the broadcast somehow.
I have to look more into it, but yeah, I just assume. I don't know how regular his role is supposed to be or if he's going to be there with them every time or Zoom or whatever.
Mm.
But yeah, it wasn't Ohio State, it was Fox.
Hmm.
Well, good job, Fox.
This guy does look like Dave, right?
No.
When we get him.
What do you get him?
I give you a 4.
Yeah,
a 4?
Yeah. It's pretty low.
I see it.
Really?
That's why it's,
oh,
that's why it's
where it's
at.
I see it.
No, I see it.
Before
seeing it,
then I give you a 2.
I see it. I know he gets more than a 2. I see it.
A 2?
Yeah, I don't see it at all, to be honest.
I see it. I got to defend my boy there. I do see it. I just don't think he looks like him now.
I'll go 5.5.
We're talking about Dave Portnoy and then Dave Carmichael.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't see it.
I see it. Maybe not. Let me get another picture.
Well, let me pull up the picture of Dave and Kenny so I can have a little something to compare it to. Let's see. Dave and Kenny.
It's a little bit more than 4.
You being a real good friend right now, man.
I'd push it up to 5. No, because I'm... Do you have Dave Portnoy in front of you?
I know
right
what
now?
They look like.
No, you got to see him.
Come on, man. 5.5.
You got to see him because I've seen a couple pictures.
It's 5.5.
All right, I bumped it up to 5. Let's not push it here. I bumped it up to 5. It's a 5. I see the vision. I see it. Chatty House, what y'all think?
Tyler Jennings says a 3 at best. He's with me.
Okay. Oh,
at
man.
Best.
Tyler, relax.
David, a 3. See, yes, relax. Exactly, a 3.
It's a little harsh.
All right.
I'm giving you a 5, right, man.
This is no Jonathan and whatever that actor's name was.
Which we'll never, ever remember again.
Travis.
Whoever you were, sir.
Austin Travis.
I know if I ever see that guy. If I ever see that.
Maybe so, yeah.
If I ever see that guy in a show again, I'm going to go, hey, there's Jonathan. Just because I'm not going to remember the guy's name.
That's phenomenal knowledge. It is Austin Scott.
Wait, it is? I just got a.
No, that's great knowledge.
Oh, okay, yeah, there's a senator named Austin Scott or something like that. I was like, nope, that's not who it was.
Yeah, that's great knowledge.
Yeah.
ESPN insiders, we talked about some of this yesterday. They predicted what they think the upcoming NBA season will look like. The one I thought that was most interesting, or one of the most interesting one, was on whether we would get a new champion for the 8th straight season. 15 of them said yes. 11 said they think Oklahoma City would repeat. What do you two think?
I say no right now. Off the top of my head, I say OKC wins it again.
No new champion. OKC goes 2 in a row.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm with you, KC. I think we get a new champion too. Now, who is that champion? I don't know.
Well, it's got to be a team coming out the West, right? Unless
I think Houston can get him.
You think Houston can get him?
I'm not ready to say that yet. And the East is just not good.
I think the Knicks can get him.
But
I think Cleveland is a true championship contender.
No, yeah. My issue is you. I thought Indiana was able to compete with them because of how deep their roster was. Mm-hmm. New York's isn't. I don't think
They added depth.
They added Clarkson, right?
Ubaldo.
Yeah, that's your boy.
And Ubaldo was giving some. Did you see that clip? He was giving somebody buckets. Was talking crazy. When? And like Eurobasket, like the other day. He was talking crazy, giving somebody buckets. But you already got McBride. You already got Mitchell Robinson. I think that's all. You don't need much more. You're nine. I mean, nine, that's a nine-man rotation at that point.